Welcome to the Lay Disciple. We're continuing an extensive study concerning Jesus the Messiah as predicted in the Old Testament. Today, Tom Murray looks at Psalm 80 and Psalm 110 and the prophecies concerning Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and reign. Keep listening.
Well, welcome to the Lay Disciple, our study ministry from True Seekers Fellowship. And we are looking at all of the Old Testament scriptures that refer or relate to the first coming of the Messiah. And we're reminded that when Jesus talked to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he said to them, "O you that are slow of heart and slow to believe all that the prophets recorded, ought not the Messiah to have suffered these things?" And then beginning at Moses and the law, and then through the prophets and into the other writings, he expounded to them all the things concerning himself. And that's what we've been doing in this study. We've come in the writings now to Psalms chapter 80, and we want to focus in on verse 17, which deals with reference to the Messiah as being the man of thy right hand. So let me read that verse 17. "Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou didst make strong for thyself." Now, if you read all of Psalm 80, you're going to find that the whole psalm deals with the national salvation of Israel, when all Israel will believe just prior to the second coming of Christ at the end of the tribulation period. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans 9, 10, and 11. And when Paul said, "and all Israel will be saved," he wasn't saying that all Jews that have ever lived would be saved. He was saying that that remnant of Jews who survived the tribulation and just before the second coming, that they are going to come to faith as a result of the extreme persecution of the Antichrist. So what we have in Psalm 80 is Israel pleading for the Messiah to return. But within their prayers, there's this one verse, this verse 17, that is very relevant to our study on the first coming of the Messiah. Remember, we're not dealing with the second coming passages. So verse 17, in fact, is a development or an expansion, if you will, of the teaching of Psalms 110, verse 1. And actually, we really should study Psalm 110, and particularly verse 1, before we come to Psalm 80. But in fact, we will get to Psalm 110 in a moment. So in this Psalm 80, Israel is praying to God for deliverance during the latter part of the tribulation. And in verse 17, the one that they ask now to come and to deliver them is the one that is seated at God's right hand. Now we're told in Psalm 110 that this person seated at the right hand of God is the Messiah who has ascended to the right hand of God following his rejection at his first coming. Now Psalm 110, and we'll look at it in a moment, also states that Messiah will remain there, that is, seated at the right hand of God, until the nation of Israel repents and they ask for him to return. So that from the time of his first coming, his rejection, crucifixion, his burial, resurrection, and ascension, the Messiah will sit at the right hand of the Father, the man, both man and God, sitting at the right hand of God until he does return. Now, the repentance that is happening here in Psalm 80 is the national repentance that it will take for the Messiah to return. Now, the title in this passage in Psalm 80 in verse 17 that is given to the Messiah is the Son of Man. Now, this is a very common messianic title in the New Testament writings. Particularly, you'll find Son of Man used by Luke in his gospel account. So, to repeat what I said earlier, the teaching of Psalms 110 verse 1, since the Son of Man is sitting at the right hand of God, he must be equal with God. So thus, we have another verse here in Psalm 80 verse 17, which affirms to us that the Messiah must also be a God-man. So what can we learn from Psalm 80, verse 17? Well, that the Messiah would be seated at the right hand of God the Father, and secondly, that the Messiah must be equal with God in order to be seated at God's right hand. So therefore, Messiah must be both God and man. He is sitting there as man, but the only one who qualifies to sit at God's right hand is God himself. So therefore you have the God-man. Now that brings us to our next passage that gives us some information about the Messiah as relating to his first coming. And this does come from Psalms 110 that we referred to, and it covers verses 1 to 7. Now, Psalm 110 falls into the fourth category of messianic prophecy that I explained to you as the introduction to this study on all the scriptures relating to the first coming of the Messiah, and that is that it encompasses, that is Psalm 110, the entire messianic program. Now there are seven short verses in this psalm, but in these seven verses you have all four periods of the messianic program. That is, you have the first coming, then you have the interval, the lapse of time between the first coming and the second coming, and then the third period is the actual second coming, and the fourth period is the actual messianic or millennial reign of the Messiah. So the Psalm 110 divides into three sections, these seven verses, or we could call them stanzas. And a stanza in Hebrew poetry is usually referred to as a strophe in the Hebrew poetical form used in the psalm. So strophe number 1, which covers verses 1 and 2, the thing that we should note is that the psalmist writer, or the psalmist himself, is David, who was the king of Israel. Now let me read you the first two verses of Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. The Lord will stretch forth thy strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of thine enemies. Now, David was the king over the entire Jewish or the land of Israel. At his time, there was the United Kingdom, that is, all Israel fell under his authority. And he established a Jewish empire by subjugating all the surrounding nations around Israel, and then by controlling the highways and the passages and passageways and the ports, he began to collect tribute from all of those nations that he conquered. And that not only gave him great wealth, but it gave him the capacity then to fortify the borders and to set up his stations of security. Now, during this time of David's reign, David had no human lord that was over him. There was no authority that David had to submit to except the authority of God himself. Yet in verse 1 of this psalm that David wrote, David talks about two lords. He says, "The Lord," that is Jehovah, "said to my Lord," that is to David's Lord. So David is speaking of two persons in verse 1 of 110. He's talking about Jehovah and my Lord. So two persons. But who could he be referring to as my Lord of these two personalities, since David had no human overlord over his life? So the only way that you could possibly understand this verse is to see Jehovah as God the Father, and therefore David's Lord would be the Messiah himself. It's the Messiah who is invited to sit at God's right hand. So what we have in Psalms 110, verse 1, what we have is a prophecy which was fulfilled at Jesus' ascension when he left the earth and ascended back to heaven following his bodily resurrection. When he had completed his redemptive work on the earth, he then ascended and he sat down at his Father's right hand. Now, very implicit within this prophecy in Psalm 110, verses 1 and 2, is the concept of the God-man. Now, we know from 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19 that anyone who sits at a king's right hand had to be equal to the king. That's 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. So when one particular king made a visit to the state of another king, then the first king would sit at the second king's right hand. And the reason he would sit is because he was considered equal to the other king. Now, since Messiah is invited to sit at God's right hand, it follows that Messiah must be equal with God. As to his humanity or his manness, Messiah is to be a descendant of David. But as to his deity, he can sit at the right hand of God. And we'll have to stop there. I see I'm out of time. So I hope you'll come back in our next broadcast and we'll see some more about what this psalm has to tell us. In the meantime, be sure and visit us at our website.
Thank you, Tom. And we trust that these programs are helping you on your road to spiritual maturity. If you'd like a cassette copy of this program or you'd like information on one of our Bible studies, call us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. The number is 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. I'd like to also encourage you to visit our brand new website at www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can find helpful information, ministry tools, and even audio files of our radio programs. Join us again next time for The Lay Disciple.